this too.
Yud Zayin Teves, Sunday the 15th of January, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, Parsha Thoughts of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored anonymously. Thank you all.
So as the title suggests, the Torah of Moshe, it would be more than presumptuous of me to try and even begin to relay the Torah of such a giant, and it would also be equally presumptuous to try and justifiably claim to even understand the Torah of Moshe. But when the world loses a god of that stature, and it's very difficult to deal with that loss, then perhaps the only way to keep the life of that Godel going here, Ba'olam Hazeh, is through Kihem Chayenu Baruch Yomenu, through Eitz Chaim Mida Machazikim Bo, and to perhaps try and pretend to say over what perhaps I've understood from his Torah. It's a little bit difficult to even put into words, and not that this morning is a hesped, but to put into words the magnitude of the loss that Klal Yisrael has suffered this week. I think Rav Moshe was one of those rare individuals whose impact on the world perhaps won't be fully realized for generations to come. Generations to come. We have here, Baruch Shem, in our Kehila, more than one of his foremost Talmidim. Got to be careful here. He has a number of very close Talmidim here. Perhaps the biggest disseminator of his Torah is arguably Rabbi Akiva Tatz. And I can tell you that having lived in America for almost 6 years, there was not a town that I visited to the east and the west coast where there weren't people whose lives were entirely changed by the Torah of Rabbi Moshe through the medium of Rabbi Tatz. Many more than we'll even realize. Many Bali Tshuva, even Gerim. I personally know people that literally came to Yiddishkeit from nowhere, literally through his Torah. And Rav Moshe was very much this Odom Godel who, from very distant Yidden, far long before they became Bali Tshuva in Russia, to Tzadikim, Goinim, Tamidei Chachomim, Muflogim. On the other end of the spectrum, everybody has something to draw from him. Everybody has something to draw from him. From his 30 to 40 shiurim a week. I can certainly say that during my years in Eretz Yisrael, that I was zocheh to go to one of his shiurim, and for four years straight, I never missed a shiur. Not one. I couldn't. Became completely and utterly enamored with him. This was his koyach, mesmerizing Torah, with a chokhman and amkus that you couldn't find anywhere. And even my wife forgave me. The day we were zocher to have a child, born in Shaare Tzedek, in Yerushalayim, that night, go to the shir. Because the godness of that shir was really irreplaceable. And they say no one's irreplaceable, and they said that no one's indispensable, and there'll always be another. I'd like to beg to differ, and I know this may go far and wide, and there are people all over the world who do hear this shiurim, and I may get the email or the phone call saying you can't say such a thing. I'm willing to take it on the plates. Rav Dudi will back me up. If I need a bit of backup, that Lemaisa, I do not believe that such a godel will ever reappear. I do not believe he is replaceable. I do not believe there will ever be another Ramosha. At least I'd be Asa Moshiach, of course. Because at the end of the day, Yerida Sadoris, we're talking about someone who's a Ben Paisper of Desla, who's a very, very Makurov to the Briskarov, who's very, very Makurov to the Chazanish. You're talking about somebody who Nigla Venista and everything in between. Gemara Rashi Tosis, Roshonim Achronim, Nigla Venista, Sifrosti, Frichers, Kranim. Nothing he didn't know. So therefore, to dare and stand and have a title that says, Parsha Thoughts of Ramosha, I think when I was asked for the title, it was right after the Petira, and I was so disturbed by by the loss, I just said, I've got to say something about Ramosha. A few days have passed now, I'm thinking maybe that was a bit too presumptuous, but we'll try, because that's what it says on the label. And Lemaisa, I was zoche to hear Kli Rishon from him himself, so with Siyata Dishmaya, maybe just put over a Nakuda that emerges from the beginning of Parashas Shemos, and actually connects us also to the end of Sefer Bereishis and Parashas Vayechi. And I do also think that the Yesod HaInyan that we're going to speak over for a few minutes this morning also relates directly to Ramosha himself. It was just pointed out to me as well that today there is a historic event taking place in the fair city of Paris, or Paris, across the channel, where a bunch of clowns are going to get together and try to determine the future of Klal Yisrael, certainly Klal Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael. Ki'ilu, they have a clue as to what's going on. Of course, the Eretz Yisrael is not represented themselves. That's obviously very, very helpful. And they're going to sit there and pontificate with their typical anti-Semitic views on whether the Jews should be granted access to a land that belongs more to the Jews than any other land belongs to its indigenous population anywhere in the world. Somebody recently said, when America gives Texas back to the Mexicans, we'll think about, you know, we won't think about giving back Ir David HaMelech, right? There's 1,000 years before this prophet was dreamt of. Okay, but it is significant. I believe what we have to say this morning is actually significant with regards to world affairs as well. So we're just literally a week away from when we heard the news about the Petira of Moshe. Who knows, maybe the Baruch Shalom took Ramosha back now because of these people led by our dear friends in the White House. Maybe we needed an extra little protection. Vervest. Anyway, enough of an introduction. Let's start. The emphasis, I was listening to a shiur of Ramosha and Parshas Shemos late last night, and I thought, I should have said that Torah. But then I realized that perhaps I didn't understand it. So, therefore, we'll stick to the original plan. That's how Sefer Shemos begins. Tells us all about the Shvatim, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehud, etc., etc. In Pasuk Hey already, Vayhi kol nefesh yoyte yerach Yaakov shivim nefesh, v'yoysev hoyo v'mitzroyim. So, Sefer Shemos already begins telling us that Yosef is in Mitzrayim. We know Yosef is in Mitzrayim. We've read about Yosef since Parshas Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi. It's all about Yosef. One long story about Yosef. Vostav the Tzveta Sefer from the Torah on Heben Midreid wegen Yosef. Why does the second book have to begin with Yosef? And the next pasuk is even more strange. The next pasuk Vov says, Vayomos Yosef v'chol echo v'chol hador ha'u. And Yosef died. Two kashas. First of all, it says all the brothers died. It should just say, it just saved the time telling us about Yosef. It just said, Kol Echov, or Kol HaShvotim, Mesu, right, V'chol HaDorahu. What's happened to Yom is Yosef V'chol Echov. Yosef and his brothers. It could have said Reuben and his brothers, and Yehuda and his brothers, or nothing. You just say, all the brothers died. V'chol HaDorahu. Noshver, even worse, is the fact that just a few psukim before that, to the end of Parshas Vayechi, the very last pasuk of Sefer Bereishis, Pasuk Chav Vav in Perik Nun, says, Vayomas Yosef ben Meo v'Esher Shonim. Yosef is gestorben. Yeah, he's 110 years old when Yosef died. Turn the page, Sefer Shemois, Vayomas Yosef. Well, he died twice. This is not our... So these are the questions that some of the Mephoroshim ask. Chaim deals with it, various others for him. Mephoroshim, Rav Moshe talk about this, is by Yomas Yosef, that there is a gedoppelt mention of Yosef's Petira, one of the end of Sefer Bereshis, one of the beginning of Sefer Shmos, and that is significant. And the fact that Yosef takes on prominence as we begin Sefer Shmos also carries significance. We'll try to discover what that significance is. Let's take a look at what happened when Yosef himself came before his father Yaakov at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov says to him something really interesting, and this is before the brachas. Yosef gets the news that his father has become unwell. So he goes to visit his father. He took his sons with him. And Yaakov says to Yosef, Va'ato, shnei vonecho hanoilodim locho be'eretz Mitzrayim ad boi elecho Mitzrayim olihim. Your two sons who were born in Mitzrayim, they are mine. Yaakov says, lihim, they are mine. And then he says, Ephraim u'menashe ki Reuven v'Shimon yiyu li. Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon to me. Zog Rashi. Lihem, what's Pshat Ephraim and Menashe are mine. Bechesh m'shab b'nei bonai heim litoil chelek ba'oretz ish kenegdoi. In other words, Menashe and Ephraim were going to take on the status of Shvatim all unto themselves. Unto themselves. So when Yaakov Avinu is saying that Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuben and Shimon, Rashi tells us is in reference to the Chalukas Ha'oretz, but what you learn there is something quite remarkable, which is that Yaakov Avinu regarded Ephraim and Menashe to be like his own children. Now most grandparents will say that about their grandchildren. Most grandparents will say to their grandchildren, you're like my own child. Most grandparents will say that, like my own child. In fact, sometimes they prefer them to their own children. There's a famous fridge magnet that says, if I'd known grandchildren were so much fun, I would have had them first. And that's because when it's all fun and the sweetness of light, then you know, then it's very kishmak when you're time with the grandchild. And when the grandchild is not exactly acting up to the standards we set for them, back to mummy, right back to daddy. So it could be Poshim Shat, you know, the Pasuk, without learning about Chalukas or Oretz, is that Yaakov was saying, you know, Yosef, you know, your children from Menashe are like Reuben and Shimon, Yuli. But the truth is that there's a much greater message that was contained in Yaakov Ovinu's rendering of Ephraim and Menashe as Reuben and Shimon. And that is that Yaakov Ovinu considered Yosef's sons to be of a higher generation, to be of the generation of Reuben and Shimon, to be of the generation of the Shvatim. Taka is true, Menashe and Ephraim, they take on the status of Shvatim, as Rashi Taka says. But it's not just in terms of Chalukas or Oretz, it's also in terms of stature, it's also in terms of status, that Menashe and Ephraim go up a level. And they become on par and level, the children of Yosef become level with the brothers of Yosef. So what does that do now? What does that do now? What does that say about Yosef himself? What does that do to Yosef? Dahainu, if the sons of Yosef are raised up one generation, raised up one level for being not just children of the Shvatim, but level with the Shvatim, where does that put Yosef? Closer to Yaakov, not just closer to Yaakov, almost on par with Yaakov. What Yaakov was conveying to Yosef by raising up his children a level was by saying that if your children come up a level, then you also come up a level. Which means that Yosef is now put on the same level as Yaakov Avinu himself, as one of the Ovos HaKadoshim, which makes Yosef kimat one of the Ovos, one of the patriarchs. One of the forefathers. Four this time spelled either way. There's Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov, and there's also Yosef. Yosef is kimat one of the Ovos. We have to understand, what does that mean? In what sense was Yosef one of the Ovos? What made Yosef an Av? What was the Avus that applied to Yosef, and Yosef specifically, Yosef exclusively? as opposed to all the other Shvatim. Interestingly, when it comes time to giving the brachas to the Shvatim, when Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Yosef, Ben Peres Yosef Ben Peres Ale Oyen, the pasuk says Vateishev Be'eson Kashtoy Vayofozuz Roye Yodov Midei Avir Yaakov Mishom Roye Even Yisrael. Yosef is referred to as Even Yisrael, the stone, the rock of Yisrael. Even Zograshi Loshen Utrikun Av Uben. Yosef is Even, which is a composite of the two words Av and Ben. He's an Av Ben. Yosef is an Av Ben. He's a son. Of course he's a son. He's one of the Shvatim. He's a child of Yaakov and Rachel. But he's also an Av. Even the Mitzrayim refer to Yosef as Vayikor lefon of Avrech. Avrech. Avrech is an Av, who's a father, and Arach is a child. He was an Av Ben. This is what Yosef was. And this is all contained in the idea that Menashe and Ephraim, Keruvim, and Shimon yearly, Yaakov was telling Yosef and Ko Zos to listen that you belong up here with me. You are potentially one of the obvious. And that explains why Yosef dies before all of his brothers, even though he's one of the youngest. Yosef is the first to die. He dies ahead of all the other Shvatim. And that's why his Miso is mentioned in Sefer Bereshis. Because as the Ramban says, Sefer Bereshis is Sefer Ha'ovos, and Sefer Shemos is called Sefer Habonim. Sefer Bereshis is the story, and therefore it's the book that belongs to the Ovos, the first generation, and Sefer Shemos is what belongs to already the children of Bnei Yisrael. Eile Shemos Bnei Yisrael, Haboim Mitzrayim, which is the children already. Yosef is the only one of the Shvatim that passes away in the Sefer Ha'ovos. He's the only one that dies in Sefer Bereshis. Because he needs to leave the stage together with the other Ovos. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yosef leave the stage. He's mentioned again at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. That's because at the end of the day, Yosef is still one of the children. He was one of the Bnei Yisrael. He was one of the Shvatim. Asher al kein, when we start Sefer Shmos, we say, V'Yosef ha'ev b'mitzrayim. Again, this week's parasha tells us again, Vayomas Yosef Cholechov Choladorahu. But Yosef is unique, and Yosef is singled out because he has one foot in Sefer Bereshis and one foot in Sefer Shmos. He straddles both of those for it to bring out this idea of Even Yisrael, that he was the Aven, that he was a father at the same time that he was a child. Now, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that Yaakov regarded Yosef as his equal, certainly in terms of stature, in terms of greatness, because already back in Parshas Vayeshev, the very second pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, Eile Toldos Yaakov Yosef. These are the children of Yaakov Yosef. No mention of any of the other children. You expect maybe in the next pasuk, you know, like in Parshas Noach, Eile Toldos Noach, and then there's a deviation. Noach is Sadiq, Tom Hoibah, they're always so. So the Kim is Halach Noach, you're thinking, I thought you were about to tell me the children of Noach. Okay, the next pasuk already tells us. The Shlosh Abomim, Veshem Chom in Yofes. But in Parshas Vayeshev, Eila told us, Yaakov, and you expect there to be a list of the Shvatim, right? Only Yosef. Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef was the dream of Yaakov. Stay in Sforim. That Yaakov gave everything for Rachel. All those years that Yaakov worked for Lavan and expended all that energy, poured his heart and soul, was all for Rachel. And therefore Rachel's firstborn child was obviously going to contain all of those dreams, that legacy that Yaakov wanted to leave behind. Shait in Medrash Rabbah, very interestingly, that, and Rashi brings it down, Eile Toldos Yaakov. Rashi actually brings this down. Medrash Agoda. Tola HaKosum Toldos Yaakov V'Yosef. Why does the Pasuk make the children of Yaakov dependent upon Yosef more than anybody else? Mipnei Kama Devorim. Achas, the first one is Shekol Atzmo Shel Yaakov Lo'ovad Eitzalovon Eleberochel. I forgot it was Rashi who says it. Rashi says that Yaakov's entire effort trying to secure Rachel, right, was because Rachel was his ultimate dream. He knew that Rachel would be Rachel Imenu more than anybody else. And of course, Rachel is the mother of Yosef. Furthermore, also Yosef looked exactly like Yaakov. And then, everything that happened to Yaakov also happened to Yosef. This one was hated, and that one was hated. This one's brother tried to kill him. This one's brothers tried to kill him. Rashi brings many, many similarities between Yaakov and Yosef. Yosef was no question, was unquestionably the favored son of Yaakov in terms of Ruchnius, where Yaakov saw that Yosef contained all of his koiches, Yosef contained all of his godless, and Yaakov knew that his legacy was safe, specifically in the hands of Yosef particularly. In fact, the Orach Chaim at the beginning of this week's parasha, when it says, V'Yosef Hoyev Mitzrayim, tells us an incredible thing. The Orach Chaim brings down from Chazal that Yosef was be'etzem ro'ui, Yosef's be'etzem prepared and fit and suitable to have had 12 Shavotim of his own. Why? He didn't have 12 Shavotim, Ayin Shom, Medayik Heitev. The fact that he only had two is remarkable, but he did have two. He could have had all 12. Yosef was mamish in Orchaim, Hangdug of Oxparasha, was mamish godel enough to have had 12 of his own Shavotim. The question that we have is, Favos, why? And what can we learn from these parashiyos that can tell us what was it unique about Yosef? What was special about Yosef? What singled him out? What made him exclusively special? That he becomes like a father to the other Shavuotim. He becomes like one of the obvious HaKadoshim themselves. So, we all heard the parasha yesterday, and we saw that Yaakov Avinu was aware that he was passing away, and he calls his sons to his bedside, Vayikra Yaakov el Bonov, but he doesn't just call them into the room. Vayomer, he said to them, he instructed them, Hey Osvu Va'agid Elochem, gather around and I will tell you, Esa Sheyikro Eschem Ba'achris Hayomim, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the end of days. So here again, we're being set up to understand that Yaakov is about to reveal to his sons what's going to happen, Ba'achris Hayomim, both when Moshiach is going to come and what's going to happen when Moshiach comes, Esa Sheyikro Eschem. Pumped off Amol all of a sudden. He comes to Vishimu b'nei Yaakov, he tells them again to gather around, even though he just told them to gather around, Hey Osu, he comes to, and then he doesn't tell them anything about Achris Hayom. Ruvein, B'chayri Ato, Shimon v'Levi, Achim, Klei Chomos, B'chayri Seyem. What happened to Achris Hayom? Says Rashi, again, from Chazal, and really it's a Gemara, Sochem, Daf, Revov, and Aleph, that we all know what happened. What happened was, is that Yaakov intended to tell the brothers, his sons, what was going to happen b'achas ha'yomim, but the Shekhinah departed. At that moment the Shekhinah departed, and therefore he had to change the subject and tell them something else instead. We'll soon see whether he actually changed the subject, whether the subject was actually changed. But the Gemara is in Pesachim Daf Mevov, where the discussion is about saying Kriya Shema, and as to whether we should be mafsid between saying the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the next pasuk of Ahavta. Do we insert the pasuk Baruch Shem? Why should we insert the pasuk Baruch Shem? Kedadorish Shlokish. The Omer of Shem Elokish, Vayikra Yaakov El Bonov, Vayoymehe Osu Vagid Elochem. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Levonov Keitz Hayomin. Menistalko mimenu shechino. Yaakov wanted to reveal the Keitz Hayomim, but the Shechina departed. Omar, so he was concerned, Yaakov, and he said, Shemo chas v'sholem, yesh memitosi psul. Maybe there's a problem. Maybe somebody's standing around my bed. Maybe one of my children is nishtzum zach. Maybe there's a psul here. After all, ka Avrohom, shios mimenu Yishmoel, ba'avi Yitzchok, shios mimenu Esau. Avraham Avinu had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esau. Maybe I've also had a wayward son, Chas V'Shalom. And maybe that's why the Shekhinah has departed. And maybe that's why I don't have my Nevuah. Omru loy bonov, Shema Yisrael, listen, Tata. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Omru, Kishem she'ein b'libach, Elo Echad, kach ein b'libeinu, Elo Echad. Just like in your heart, Yisrael, Tati, Yisrael, There's only one Hashem, there's only one Hashem Echod. Kachem bilebenu le'echod, ba'oys shor, posach Yaakov avinu va'omar, Baruch Shem kvoid malchus Eloi lamoed. Yaakov exclaimed, Baruch Hashem. Gemara goes on to explain that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say Baruch Shem kvoid malchus Eloi, the posach goes straight from Hashem Echod to Va'ahavta. Shouldn't we say, the Gemara comes up with a Peshora, very rare. We'll say it quietly. B'chashoy. And that's Taka by Adayom, we only say Baruch Shem quietly. Because Yaakov Avinu holds his gezot, Moshe Avinu holds his nish gezot, so we say it, it's common to both of them. But what is this passage of Gemara telling us? Aside from the practical application of when we say Baruch Shem, how we say Baruch Shem, the depth of the passage is saying, and the Moshe brought this down from the Zohar HaKadosh, is that Yaakov Avinu in Mitzrayim was actually experiencing for himself his own Achris Hayom. Stated Zohar that contrary to common belief, the years that Yaakov Avinu spent in Mitzrayim were his Iker years. These were his main years. These were the years when he achieved the highest levels of Ruchnis. Why? Because until this point, Yaakov had suffered tragedy after tragedy after trouble after trouble, and challenge after challenge. Even before he was born, he was being hunted down. Esav, Lavan, Yosef, Alayhoyu, Kulonam. One Torah after another. Eventually he arrives in Mitzrayim, which ironically is not in Eretz Yisrael. Finally, he can relax. This was his own Achris Hayom, and this was his own Yemois HaMoshiach. Yaakov Avinu's experience in his own Yemois HaMoshiach. In fact, later it says, Vayikva, Vayosef, Alamov, that when Yaakov died, it says that he didn't die. States in the Gemara, in Tainis, Tafeo, Medalef, Yaakov Avinu, Loi Meis. Ramoshi touched that up to mean that this was indicative of the seamless transition of Yemois HaMoshiach into Olam Haba. The Firoid Rishonim, Yemois HaMoshiach will segue seamlessly into Olam Haba. It's Machlokas. But Roiv Rishonim hold it's going to work like that. And Yaakov Avinu was living through this himself. He'd finished living in Olam Hazeh. He was now living in Yemois HaMoshiach, sort of a heightened level, still Olam Hazeh, but a heightened level of Olam Hazeh, as the Rishit Nizoya HaKadosh. And Chazal, the Gemara in Tainis, is telling us that he just kept moving. And that's why it doesn't say Vayomos, because Yaakov just kept moving straight into Olam Haba. So Yaakov Avinu was living Yemois HaMoshiach. And so Yaakov Avinu therefore wanted to be Megaleh HaKeitz. He wanted to bring his sons into his room and explain to them what was happening. And how what he was experiencing was what they were going to experience. He wanted to give them the picture of Achris Hayomim. But he also wanted to give them not just a depiction of Achris Hayomim, but what is required for Achris Hayomim. Or better said, what Achris Hayomim will be made up of. What will be the key features of Achris Hayomim. And this is contained in the words, Hey Osru Va'agid Alachem. And again, he quotes Uvishimu b'nei Yaakov. Yaakov was telling his sons, Herzachai, I'm about to describe to each one of you who you are, and what you represent, and what your special character is, and what your special personality is, and what you bring to the table in your own unique, special way. Reuven, you are this. Shimon, you are that. I'm about to describe these things to you. You might think that this is a reason, and this is cause, and this is a justification, perhaps, for you to fall out with each other. Maybe each one will insist on his way, and each one will insist that he has the right mahalach, and that he has the key to emes. And if I'm a Reuven, then I haven't got any time for a Yisachar chas v'shalom. And I'm telling you, said Yaakov, hey osfu, Hikovtsu, come together, come around, create a circle. A circle can be made of lots of different elements, but you need to hold it together. You need an asifa, you need a kibbutz. And he's about to give them the whole picture, the whole description of Achris Hayomim, and all of a sudden the Shekhinah departs. See, Yaakov has a pachat. Shema ikupsul. Maybe there's a problem here. Maybe one of you is not in the circle. Maybe one of you is going to break out. Maybe one of you is going to revert back to what happened in Parshas Vayeshev. Vayisnu, Vayikanu, Vayusifu Oitzanoi. Homad Das Wort im Gesang nennt hatte. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're all round one Hashem Echad. We have different mahalchim. Some wear a stranel, some wear, don't wear a stranel. Some wear a gavel, some don't wear a gavel. Some daven usach svad, some don't daven usach ashkenaz. But in zach zos to wissen, Hashem Echad, we're all one. We're all one, we're all one here osu, we're all one here kovzu. As though he kovzu ve he osu, Yaakov understood that wasn't the reason the Shechina left. The reason the Shechina left was just something else. But his sons were perfect, mitoso shleimo. Hashalkin, he was able to then explain to each one of them who they were individually, without risk of creating a rupture again. But how could Yaakov be so confident that the Taka wouldn't rupture, that the Taka wouldn't disband? Because he knew there was one person amongst them who had this koyach ha-ma'asef, this koyach ha-asifa, this koyach ha-mekavetz, that was such a strong koyach, that even when his brothers tried to kill him, tried to get rid of him, he was somehow able to bring them down, bring them together, bring them around. And who is that person? That person was Yosef HaTzadik. Shin Tanchuma very quickly. We've shown that what happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef. Rav Moshe brought down from the Tanchuma in Parshas Vayigash that there's another comparison. Boyor Eitz, say Chazal, I'll be quick. Kol Mashi Ira Li Yosef Ira Li Tzion. Everything that happens to Yosef also happens to Tzion. Just like whatever happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef, Chazal tells us whatever happens to Yosef happens to Tzion. Many other psukim. What's the kesher? First of all, Yosef b'gematria tzion. And second of all, because there's one commonality between Yosef and tzion, and that is that Yosef is the only man in the Torah described as yifei toya, yifei mare. He was very beautiful. And tzion is called tzion michlal yofi. Tzion is also very beautiful. Yifei loif mesois kol ha'oretz har tzion. Is a beauty. What beauty are we talking about? Rav Moshe said that when the Torah talks about beauty, we're not talking about what the goyim call beauty. Beauty in the Torah means harmony. Beauty in the Torah means when things come together. Beauty in the Torah means when there are disparate elements and somehow they fuse together in one total harmonious whole, where there's nothing jarring, nothing standing out, nothing in contravention. Dos heis yifei toya. This was the koyach of Yosef. And this is the koyach of Tzion. Tzion is zeh shar shamayim. Im zeh kim beisik dim zeh shar shamayim. It's the coming together of all the disparate elements. It's the place of sholem, Yerushalayim. That's what Yerushalayim is. And this is the koyach of Yosef. And that's takawai in the dreams of Yosef. When he was telling his brothers that you had all your alumos, noise alumos over in the field. Vihine koma alumosi, vigamni tsova. What did your alumos do? Vihine sesuveno alumosechem. All of your bundles of wheat, they all surrounded my bundle of wheat. And the brothers thought that meant Hamalach Timlech Aleinu, Hamashal Timshobot. What they didn't understand is that Yosef was the Koyach HaMa'agei, the Koyach HaMa'asev, who was going to pull them all together. And that's why he's called an Av. That's why he's called a father to the sons. Because he's the one that can bring them all together. What does the father do when the children are fighting? Come on, come on. He wants them all to get along. This was the Koyach that Yosef had, and this is the Koyach of Tzion. Today in Yenna City, Mamish, the bedrock of Kedusha in our world, the Kedusha of Paris, they're going to be Ma'asif and Miskabit to decide Tzion. What's the Homnishkin Anum Begin? Is that the real Isuf and the real Kibbutz is only in Tzion. But it is for us to be he osvu, he kovtsu, b'shimu b'nei Yaakov, to say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If all aspects, if all groups within Klal Yisrael who put Hashem Echad at the center are able to have a bit of a an attitude of asifa and kibbutz, not everybody knocking each other and beating everybody out of the way, saying, my way or the highway, but they have this kerch of Yosef amongst them. Ah, ma tov ma noim. And this is Rav Moshe. From the far-flung Yidden out in Moscow to the Chavri HaKolel and Gates and everybody in between, I'm not sure there's anybody who has something to say to every segment of Klal Yisrael. And that's because he lived Hashem Echod, and when Hashem Echod is in the middle, then Geshem Shevelibcho Eino Ele Echod, Kach Velibeino Eino Ele Echod. Bez Hashem Wishu Bezoicha, Tvachoy Abayim, Bahu Yiyah Hashem Echod, Ushmo Echod.
Rabbi, it's the middle of the month, but unfortunately,